This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, August 19th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Two web browsers, Apple's Safari and Google's Chrome, dominate the market. Does that mean they have too much control over how we experience the internet? Some antitrust regulators and browser startups think it might. On today's show, our tech reporter Miles Krupa joins us to discuss how Safari and Chrome got to be so dominant and what regulators may do about it. That's after these headlines. We report exclusively that Snap is scrapping development of its flying selfie camera called Pixie just 4 months after launching it. That's according to people familiar with the matter. CEO Evan Spiegel told staff during a recent question and answer session that the decision was part of a broader shift in priorities for the company. Snap shares fell more than 80% in the past year. Like other social media companies, its flagship app, Snapchat, has been hurt by the downturn in digital advertising. As for Pixie, the drone which takes off and lands in a user's hand, sources say the company will continue to sell the current iteration. A group of workers at Google parent Alphabet is asking the company to stop collecting data on users seeking information about abortion. The petition, signed by more than 650 workers, was sent to CEO Sundar Pichai on Monday. It also called on the company to remove search results for crisis pregnancy centers, which typically counsel women against having abortions. The workers say these results are misleading to those seeking abortions. A Google spokeswoman declined to comment on the petition. We'll be talking more about Google and its search function later in the show. Dodge unveiled its first all-electric car model this week. And while the sound of an engine revving is not what you'd expect to hear from an electric car, it is what you'd expect to hear from a muscle car, like those Dodge has specialized in for decades. CEO Tim Kuniskis unveiled the new model Wednesday.
This is the EV that you didn't see coming, but you'll definitely hear it coming.
The company is hoping the addition of a synthetic engine sound will make the new car more appealing to customers who choose Dodge for its loud, powerful engines. Dodge's parent company, Stellantis, has set a goal of converting half its U.S. sales to battery-powered models by 2030. Here's Kuniskis again.
The industry is undergoing the biggest shift that it's ever taken since we switched from horses to cars. The industry has invested $500 billion in this transition.
The concept car known as the Charger Daytona SRT will replace Dodge's Challenger and Charger models, both of which will be discontinued at the end of next year. And for the first time, Americans are spending more time streaming than watching cable TV. New Nielsen data shows 34.8% of total U.S. TV viewing time in July was through streaming. That beat cable viewing time by nearly half a percentage point, and it's a roughly 22% jump in streaming time from a year earlier. Over that period, cable viewing fell by 9%. In July, many streaming platforms, including Netflix, YouTube, Hulu, and Amazon Prime Video, topped their U.S. viewing records set just a month earlier. All right, coming up, browser startups and regulators are taking aim at Apple and Google. Do the tech giants have too much control over how we engage with the internet? We'll discuss after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
browser is the main gateway to the internet, then the current main gatekeepers are Google and Apple. Together, Google's Chrome and Apple's Safari account for more than 80% of the web browser market. And that has regulators and rivals raising questions about whether antitrust controls or greater consumer protections are needed. Joining us to discuss this is our tech reporter, Miles Krupa. Hi, Miles. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Zoe.
Miles, can you just lay out in a little more detail what exactly regulators and rivals are claiming that these two browser operators are doing that's anti-competitive? Because, you know, just being big isn't necessarily anti-competitive.
That is true. The bone that people have to pick with Apple in particular is that Apple forces other browser makers to use what they call a browser engine that is developed by Apple to build browsers on Apple devices. So Google has its own browser engine. Firefox has its own browser engine. However, when they want to offer a browser on iPhones, they have to build them using Safari's WebKit. So that's the big contention with Apple. With Google, we've heard from multiple competitors in search and other areas that Google has used Chrome to basically make it more difficult for these competitors to distribute their products. To come across something like DuckDuckGo, a privacy-focused search engine, to Google, you have to go to a browser and you have to find it. And Google has about two-thirds of the browser market. So if Google makes it difficult to download something like a browser extension for DuckDuckGo, then, you know, DuckDuckGo would say that's impeding their ability to distribute their products.
How have Google and Apple responded to those claims?
So the first thing to note is both companies will say, you know, this market is very, very competitive. It's easy to switch between browsers. It's easy to make a browser a default on an operating system. You know, people don't have to use Chrome. They don't have to use Safari. So that's their first point. And then beyond that, Apple has all sorts of reasonings for why they have this WebKit requirement, the foremost being security, that they believe it is the most secure browser engine and is sort of critical to maintaining security and privacy on Apple mobile devices. Other people dispute that, but that's a much longer conversation. And then with Google, they maintain that they participate in all sorts of web standards groups and that they don't do anything anti-competitive with the browser extensions. And basically that Chrome is one because it's a better browser.
It does seem like lawmakers, though, are kind of taking note of what rivals are saying and are looking at kind of the scale of the control that these companies have over the browser market. So what kind of actions are lawmakers or regulators around the world starting to take?
Right. It's still early days. The UK Competition and Markets Authority is doing an investigation into mobile browsers that is really squarely focused on Apple and Google. And there could be all sorts of remedies that come out of that. They could ask that Apple stop this requirement, that other browsers use WebKit on mobile devices. They could ask Google to potentially give options for other browsers when you open up Chrome. They could do all sorts of things to try to promote more competition in the market.
What's the competition like now? I mean, if so many of us are using Chrome and Safari, you know, listeners might not really be aware of what their other options are.
Yeah, a lot of the alternatives are really focused on privacy. So, you know, it's no secret that data is really important to Google, and Google collects a lot of data on its users through Chrome. So some of the alternatives really market themselves as privacy-friendly, not collecting user data. Another one I spoke to called The Browser Company has made a browser called Arc that is really trying to put a whole new user experience on the browser, where it's basically saying We do all of our work in the browser these days. We don't use our desktops. So the browser needs to reflect that. And things like tab overcrowding, that can be streamlined through a few different design choices.
Tab overcrowding is certainly something that I am guilty of. I think there's like 30 tabs open in my browser right now. I want to take a step back for a second. How did Chrome and Safari become so big and so important to our internet experience?
Yeah, well, Safari predated Chrome. It was introduced in 2003. And interestingly enough, from the beginning, it had this partnership with Google where Google was the default search engine in Safari. So that was a really important distribution channel for Google. And eventually, Google decided in 2008 that it also needed its own browser. And what that's really done for Google over time is it's been really the key portal for people interacting with Google search. You know, Google Chrome now has about 2/3 of internet activity worldwide, and it's really a simple layout to the point that they combined the URL bar where you type in websites and the search bar where you can ask Google questions about all sorts of things, right? So by tying those two things together, they really trained users to go to Chrome and to go to that search bar when they have a question about anything.
You know, this idea that a web browser has become too big or might be giving a big tech company an upper hand isn't entirely new. In the 1990s, you know, people complained that Microsoft was giving Internet Explorer an unfair competitive advantage by bundling it with its operating system. So why are regulators kind of back at this point now looking at browsers again? And kind of what is their impetus to kind of keep going and pushing this forward?
You know, browsers sit at this really interesting intersection where they are really important to the way we experience the web and really important in determining how all sorts of developers create applications for the web. So I think there's a growing realization that as more people are spending time online, as more people are interacting with applications that are native to the web, that these browsers are really important, not just for like these companies as big businesses, but for this open web economy that's sprung up over the past decade plus.
All right. That's our reporter, Miles Krupa. Thanks for joining us, Miles.
Thanks again, Zoe.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our producer is Julie Chang. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.